stand for the reading of God's Word this morning. And we are going to be reading from Luke chapter 24, verses 36 through 53. Luke chapter 24, 36 through 53. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy, and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Amen.
And that Christ rose again shows that the price for our sin was fully paid. And when he rose again, he did put death to death. And he did give us life, true life now to live. So we want to focus on this life through the power of Jesus' resurrection this morning. Please take your Bibles and turn with me to Luke chapter 24. The resurrection passage in Luke's gospel is chapter 24. There's a number of stories here. We're going to be focusing on this story. This is on the first resurrection night. The parallel passage of this is in John. John also gives us this passage where Jesus stands in the midst of the disciples. This is his fifth resurrection appearance on that first resurrection day. The message I have for you today, I've simply entitled, Jesus Himself. And if you look, please, in your Bible, in verse 36, we see that phrase there, and that's where I get this message title, right from the Bible. Can't go wrong with that. Verse 36, Luke chapter 24. Can you read that verse with me? God's word. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. What an amazing thing that Jesus himself stood in the midst of them. And we believe he is here just as alive. In the midst of us. Amen. Let's pray this morning. Now, Father, your word is true. Jesus is alive. But only you, O God, could actually convince each of our hearts. So if there's any here today that are not sure, O Spirit of God, come down, we pray, and make your word live for it is a living word. And may your living word be brought into the hearts and souls of each of us today, that we might know Jesus himself is alive. And Jesus, you yourself, speak to us today in our very heart of hearts through the eternal word of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we look at this passage, Jesus himself, I have an important question I want to ask you from it. A very important question. But first, I want to just share a few things that I thought about regarding the resurrection as I studied the resurrection accounts. And there were three things that strongly occurred to me. The first is, the disciples did not easily believe that Jesus Christ was risen again. Don't think we believe something in the resurrection that is necessarily natural to the human man, because it's not natural to any of us to believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it wasn't even natural, think of this, for the apostles to believe that Jesus was risen again after they spent 3.5 years with them, after he told them exactly what was going to happen, that he was going to die, he would be buried, and he would be raised again. They still didn't believe it when it happened. The disciples did not easily believe. Angels could not convince them that Jesus was alive. The women, when they came to them, they said they're idle tales. Peter could not even convince the other disciples that he was alive. The two on the Emmaus Road who have now come into this group with burning hearts after having eaten with the resurrected Jesus. There were two on the Emmaus Road. If you look in this passage right before what we read, it says they came in and they said, "The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon." And then they told them what things when Jesus made their hearts burn within them. They didn't believe them. These disciples would not believe one another. Isn't that amazing? I thought, that's incredible. So I thought, well, if angels couldn't convince anybody to believe, if the women and the two on the Emmaus Road couldn't convince people to believe, I said, I'll just join that group and just tell you straight up, I cannot convince you to believe that Jesus is risen from the dead. If you're not sure about that, I personally, humanly, cannot convince you. So who can? Jesus himself. Only Jesus himself could convince these disciples that he was alive. And ultimately, we know all the disciples, all these apostles, believed that Christ was risen from the dead. How come? Because of indisputable evidence from Jesus Christ himself that he was alive. They didn't believe it from one another. They believed it directly from Jesus Christ himself. Only he could convince each of the apostles that he was risen again. So I said, I have an important question to you. This is an important question. As we're now 2,000 years after the resurrection, the question is this. If the disciples were so slow to believe that Jesus was alive when they had spent 3.5 years with him, and they were right there in the midst when Jesus Christ himself rose again, how can we be expected to believe this 2,000 years later? How can I expect you to believe this if you came in here and you say, I don't know whether, I think you Christians are a bit crazy, you know, and what you believe, I don't think I could ever believe it. I accept that you believe that. But think about this, and I feel for you, actually. I sympathize with your struggle of faith in that how can we be expected to believe something 2,000 years after it happened? We can't physically see, hear, or touch Jesus as the apostles did. And then how can we not only not, how can we be expected to believe this? And then, according to the Bible, our eternal destiny depends on whether we believe this or not. How could that be? So that's my question. And I'm going to give a very brief answer to this important question. And it's an important answer. And the answer is this: because the Holy Spirit has come. The Holy Spirit came down on the day of Pentecost, and he's with us today. He's dwelling in the hearts of believers, and he is in his presence, fills The heaven of heavens cannot contain him. So the Spirit of God has been poured out. Jesus said the Holy Spirit is another comforter, just like Jesus Christ. And when the Holy Spirit came, he inspired these early apostles to write what we call the New Testament, to write the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all telling the same story of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. They were eyewitnesses of his glory. They were eyewitnesses of these things that they wrote. And then in the epistles and in the book of Revelation, they all tell the same truth that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and he rose bodily from the grave. And that's how come we can believe this, because Jesus himself convinces us through the Holy Spirit and by the power of the Word of God. You see, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. And he's dwelling in our hearts. And he shows us Jesus. So that it's as if we were as good as there, hearing his voice, touching him, seeing him. Because we have the Holy Spirit of God. And so today I want to just rely on the Lord God of heaven. If you're here today and you say, I'm not sure that Jesus Christ is risen, I say, okay, I'm not here to convince you, but I believe that God can convince you. If you're here today and you're not sure Jesus Christ is alive, based on what our scripture says, Jesus himself can show you he's alive by the power of his Holy Spirit working through the power of his word. And that's my desire, is that you would experience Jesus himself teaching you and showing you he's alive, and all of us, and if you're already saved, that we would all experience Jesus himself alive from the dead, our friend of all friends in this life. There's a very beautiful verse in Hebrews, and it says that God has spoken in various ways throughout history, but in the second verse it says, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. And that's a deep verse. And I understand it could, when it says he's spoken to us in these last days by his Son, no doubt by his earthly coming, he spoke the word of God. But I believe it transcends just his physical coming. I believe that in these last days, which we are living in right now, those last days started with the coming of Christ, and we've been in the last days for 2,000 years. But in these last days, God has spoken unto us, it says, by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, the inheritor of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, God manifest in very flesh. And now he's seated at the Father's right hand. But he himself, in these last days, speaks to us. And he wants to show you he's alive today. So let's look at this passage of Scripture, and I want to see four things about Jesus himself as he speaks to these disciples, and I pray he'll speak to us in the same way. The first thing we see is that Jesus himself gives peace, overcoming fear, overcoming their fears. And notice, as the disciples were in this room, and if you look at the other passages, we won't, but if you go to John, it says the doors were shut because of the fear of the Jews. So at this point, before Jesus appeared in this room with these disciples, they were confused, they were fearful, they were bewildered, they were uncertain of their future, they were afraid, they were struggling to believe. And then it says, suddenly, Jesus himself, but notice this, stood in the midst of them. And it's clear from John's gospel, the doors were shut, and all of a sudden Jesus comes, and he didn't sneak through a window. He didn't barge through a door. He suddenly appears, it says, he stood in the middle of them. Boom! He appeared suddenly like that. It's a miracle. You say, well, how could that have happened? Well, he walked on water during his earthly life. Now he's in a resurrection body that actually can appear and disappear, but it was still a material body, but it was not exactly like the body he had before his resurrection. It was a body that was ready for eternity, and it was a glorified resurrection body. And so as soon as Jesus appeared, what did he do? He speaks. Why does he speak? Because his name is the Word of God. And when he speaks, what does he speak? He speaks peace. Why does he speak peace? Because he is the Prince of Peace. And he says, peace be unto you. And so Jesus meets their fears, and he meets their storm of uncertainty with peace. Peace be unto you. But his words didn't give them peace. Actually, what was the response when they saw him in verse 37? What does it say? There's a pile of words here in verse 37 and 38. I put them on the screen. It says, they were terrified. It says, they were troubled. It says, they were affrighted. And then they had thoughts. It says they had thoughts arising in them. In verse 37, they were terrified. They were affrighted. They were troubled. There were thoughts arising in them. In other words, they were anxious. They were really agitated. They were, even when it says, Jesus says, why do thoughts arise within you? The idea there is they were doubting and they were debating. What is going on here? Because now they see this man in the midst of them and they think he is a spirit, a ghost. They're spooked. He says, peace be to you, but they are spooked. They're afraid and terrified of who Jesus is. In some kind of way, if we don't believe that Jesus is alive and he appears and you say, wow, he is alive. He is alive. That's a terrifying thought. But Jesus wants to give you peace. Jesus wants to give you peace. And that's why he says, peace be unto you. So as I read this story, you know what I see? The disciples, guess what they're acting like? The disciples, afraid, struggling, doubtful, wondering, what's going on, troubled. And when I read the story, Jesus, you know who he's acting like? Jesus. In his words and in his tone, in his calm, he just appears and he speaks peace. And what I'm saying to you today is that Jesus himself can give us peace in the midst of our storms of uncertainty and doubt and fear. But we must take in his words of peace rather than suppose upon the lies we're so easily to believe. And it's only then that we can have peace. Because notice these disciples. It says they were terrified and they were affrighted. And Jesus even said to them, in verse 38, why are you troubled? I ask you that question. Jesus is asking you that question today. Take that question into your soul. Why are you troubled? Why are there thoughts of doubt and despair and murmuring and debating in your soul regarding the truth of who Jesus Christ is? Why are you afraid? And then it says it, though, in the text. It says they suppose they had seen a spirit. That's an important word, suppose. And I'm putting that on the screen here. It says when we take in the words of Jesus himself, rather than what? Suppose upon things not true, lies of this world. You see, the reason you have the fear and the terror and the troubles and the doubts is you're supposing the lies of this world or the lies that you want to tell yourself or you think are true that are not. They suppose they saw a spirit. Was it true? No, they didn't see a spirit. They saw who? Jesus alive. Many people suppose things that are not true, and it leads to fear. Many people suppose, God doesn't love me. How could he love such a one as me? Or they suppose, the Bible's not true. I was told by my professors in college that it has a lot of contradictions. Yeah, you probably were. Many people suppose things about the Bible that are not true, that it is full of contradictions or fables or tall tales. And by supposing on the lies of this world, they throw off the possibility of having the peace that Jesus Christ wants to give. So I want to encourage you, especially if you say, I just came in today, I'm not sure about the Bible, I'm not sure about Jesus alive. Okay, I get it. I want to encourage you, just suppose for a minute that the Bible is true. And suppose that Jesus Christ is alive. Can you suppose that? And suppose that Jesus Christ wants to give you peace. And suppose he really said this to the disciples when he rose again from the dead. Peace be unto you. I want you to take that word into your soul right now. Jesus Christ alive saying, peace be unto you. And ask God if that's true or not. In your heart right now. Act with God. Interact. Say, well, I'm not even sure there's a God. Well, say, I suppose there is one just for now. I'll suppose there's a God. And if there's a God, he could show me that that's the truth. Now, in your heart, in your thoughts, you're talking to yourself. I want you to act and interact with me what I'm saying. Jesus said, peace be unto you. Is God saying to you, that's the truth? Jesus Christ will give you peace. Jesus said in another place, peace I leave with you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Jesus wants to give us peace, and he loves us. Do you feel the Holy Spirit agreeing with what I'm saying right now? It's the Word of God. I believe that in your heart, if you feel, if you're, you know, we have voices talk to us. We have to know who's talking to us. Who's talking to you right now? I'm talking on the outside, but somebody is talking on the inside of each one of you. And that's who I'm trying to get to right now. I'm trying to talk to your inner man. And who's talking to you on the inside? And when I speak the word of God, what Jesus himself said, John 14, 27, peace I leave with you, my peace as I give unto you. That's the word of God. Do you feel in your heart the Lord saying, yes, that's true. Believe that. Believe that. The Word of God. If you do, Jesus himself is showing you the truth. Jesus himself is speaking to your heart through the Bible. That's how this works. The Spirit of God is alive to work. Because notice what Jesus said here. In verse 38, notice he says, why are you troubled? Why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? So what does Jesus know about us? He knows the thoughts that are where? In our hearts. And he wants to break into them. He wants to break into your heart. He wants to break into your thinking. And he wants you to believe him and not the lies you've supposed to believe. Our culture is filled with lies. And I'm not here to sort out all the lies, but I'm here to say the Bible is truth. And you can trust the Word of God in the midst of all the lies. And God will give you peace. The disciples were a jumble of negative emotion. We talked about it. They were terrified, affrighted, troubled, doubts. And people have all these negative emotions. They're sad. They can't sleep. They panic. They're nauseous. They're overwhelmed, filled with shame, worry. you know, pick up the, actually don't, but I'm sure you've heard of the DSM manual, you know, the manual of psychiatric illnesses. And I mean, it's a very thick book and they keep adding to it. And you just talk, we're talking about fear. You know how many fears there are that we are prone to in this life? Hundreds. We're so fearful. But Jesus, in one word, breaks through all that fear and he just says, peace, peace. So we need to believe what Jesus is saying. He says, peace I leave with you. Look at that verse, Jeremiah 31:3. Let God speak to your heart. Can you read that verse? It says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. That's the prophet Jeremiah. I didn't say it, but that's the truth. Can you take that into your heart? I have loved you with an everlasting love. Could you say, yes, that's true. I feel the Spirit of God bringing that truth to me. I don't feel very lovable, and I don't even feel very loving sometimes, but God loves me. And God commendeth, that means he demonstrated or showed once and for all his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. No man can say Jesus Christ does not love them because he showed his love for the world by going to the cross. He proved his love by dying for you. Can you take that into your heart? Is there a voice telling you right now, this preacher is absolutely nuts. Don't believe a word he's saying. There could be a voice telling you that. And you know what? If there is a voice telling you that, that's the devil. Not because I'm perfect, because that's just the Bible there. I told you before, I can't convince you to believe anything. But I do believe Jesus himself can convince you. He convinced me. And if he can convince me, just a drug dealing, pot smoking, rock and roll loving, wicked, immoral college sinner, I know he could save anyone. So, Jesus knows our thoughts and wants to break into them and change them. And you know, if you don't believe, and I'm going to be a little tough here now, if you don't believe Jesus Christ, he can get a little tough with us too. And he gets tough with the disciples. Read in Mark's gospel, and it says, when he appeared to the 11 in this same incident, it says he upbraided them for their unbelief and their hardness of heart. Why? Because they wouldn't believe the two on the Emmaus Road. They didn't believe the angels. They didn't believe the women who said Jesus is alive. They wouldn't believe. And it says Jesus upbraided them. And he told the two on the Emmaus Road even, he called them fools. Oh, fools and slow of heart. So if you're not going to believe, he says you have a hard heart. Can you take that word in? Do you see yourself? Foolish heart. Jesus is rebuking us. Why is your heart unbelieving and hard? Why won't you believe the faithful women like Mary? Why won't you believe the apostles, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, who wrote the Gospels? Why won't you believe the prophecies of the Old Testament that were prophesied hundreds of years before Jesus came, telling us of his death, burial, and resurrection, that he had to do exactly what he did based on promises hundreds of years before? It is all written. Why can't we believe in the power of the resurrection based on the authority of God's word that still stands? He wants to give us peace and overcome our fear. Second, he wants to give us joy, overcoming our doubt. Here's an amazing thing. Jesus says to them as he comes and he says, okay, you think I'm a ghost? You think I'm a spirit? I want to show you that I'm not. And he says, behold my hands and my feet. So through the sense of sight, seeing that I'm here in the flesh. And then he says, handle me and see. So through the sense of touch, know that I'm alive from the dead. And then he says, if you're still not sure, he's going to eat with them. And so, like any of us in our physical nature will eat, Jesus ate with them. So they had the evidence of sound and sight and touch And then they eat with him. And then they know that Jesus Christ is actually alive. They know it, but notice how Luke puts it. It's like so, I think it's kind of cool the way he puts it here when he showed them his hands and feet in verse 41. And it says, while they yet believe not for joy. Now, in other words, they were so happy, it was like, it was too good to be true. So it says they believe not for joy. It would be like if somebody promised you a trip of your lifetime that you always wanted to go on, and you were so happy you just almost couldn't believe it was true. But it was true. Because if you're so happy about something, it has to be true. But it's just at that moment, the joy overwhelmed everything else. And it was like the faith was below the joy. The joy was so overwhelming. This is overwhelming joy. To overcome their doubt. So I ask you this. What would you rather live with? Joy that is so great, you're like, Jesus is alive. This is so good. It is beyond my ability to conceive and to imagine. It is too good to be true. And if you're saved, we should have that kind of joy. Amen. We should have this kind of joy that Jesus Christ is alive and we're on our way to heaven and we're going to see his face and we're going to see our forefathers and we're going to see the apostles and the prophets. We're going to see all the way back to Adam and Eve. Can you imagine seeing Adam and Eve in heaven? And can you imagine seeing Moses and the prophets Elijah and Elisha and Jeremiah, the apostles and Peter and James, but seeing Jesus Christ face to face? I mean, we have something that is so great. It is too good to be true. Would you rather live with joy or doubt? Now you say, but I can't hear his voice. These apostles heard him. I can't touch him. These apostles touched him. And you're still asking me to believe something that I cannot see and touch. And I can't eat with Jesus either when I have lunch later on. I won't see Jesus Christ eating with me. Obviously, that's true. But again, I'm here to say that the Holy Spirit of God is here. Based on my Bible, the Holy Spirit of God is right here. And based on my Bible, the Holy Spirit of God inspired holy men of God to write these words in the Bible. So here's a word that the Apostle John, who saw Jesus Christ alive from the dead, and all the apostles who struggled with faith, guess what? They actually ultimately ended up believing, except Judas. They all believed and all died martyrs' deaths, except the Apostle John, who died in old age. So he lived faithfully to his death. What I'm saying is, these apostles, slow to believe, once they did believe, never went back. They were so sure Jesus Christ was alive. And John said this, what Jesus said before he rose up Lazarus from the grave. Can you read that word with me from Jesus? Jesus speaking said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Now the Holy Spirit, you know what the Holy Spirit does? The Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit of God, the third person of the Godhead, and he witnesses with our human spirit. So you have a human spirit. I cannot see your human spirit, but you have a spirit in you, and the Holy Spirit of God is going to witness to you with that verse right there. Is it true? Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Can you feel the Holy Spirit in you agreeing with that word right now? Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth in me, though he were dead, when we all die, we're still going to live. We'll be with Jesus Christ in heaven. Doesn't the Holy Spirit give you that peace and give you that joy and give you that assurance that Jesus Christ is alive from the dead? Jesus himself gives you that assurance that he's alive and that when you die, you'll live with him. Does the Holy Spirit give you that assurance? Say amen. Amen. Now, maybe you say, preacher, I have no idea what you're talking about. Or maybe you even think, I'm crazy. Or you hear a voice telling you, every word that man up there is saying is a lie. It could be, in your mind right now, you're saying, every word this guy is saying up here is a lie. Don't believe him. He's a fake. He's a phony. He's a fraud. He's a cheat. He's trying to get your money. I'm not trying to get anybody's money. Believe me, I've been doing this for 40 years, and I'm still not very, you know, I'm not a rich man. I don't have any jets. I did see a jet yesterday, though. I said that I saw a jet when I was in New Jersey. It was going into the Teterboro Airport. I said, that is a beautiful jet. If I ever buy a jet, honey, get that one for me right there. But it's not going to happen. But the point is this. We're in a spiritual world. I am recognizing the spiritual world we are living in. And the Bible says that the devil can put fiery darts of doubt into your mind. One of the devil's favorite darts is the word if, the word of doubt. He threw this dart at Jesus Christ himself when he tempted him. He said, if you're the Son of God. So the devil is the big doubter. And he wants to get us to doubt the word of God. He wants to get us to doubt that Jesus Christ is alive. And he puts those arrows into your mind to get you not to believe the Bible. So who are you listening to today? I implore you, what I'm saying to you is this. If you will listen to the Holy Spirit of God, confirm the word of God, Jesus himself will show you he's alive. If you say, I'm not going to listen to the Holy Spirit of God, I'm going to hold on to my lies and to the darts of the devil, then you'll just leave the same way you walked in. Or, you know, I like to read the Bible like this. When Jesus says to the disciples, behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. He was bodily raised again. So when I read my Bible, and I think you'll agree with me, for those of you who know the Lord, you just like to put yourself right in that room, don't you? Don't you just like to put yourself there and be as one of those apostles? And that you could almost just close your eyes and see Jesus holding out his hands to the disciples. Handle me and see. A spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see me have. And it's as if he's speaking when the Holy Spirit is with us and he's teaching us the Bible. We just kind of like put ourselves right there. Amen?
Amen.
And so we believe that he's alive. And he speaks peace. And he himself wants to convince you not only that he can give you peace in the midst of your fears, but he can also show you his life, that he is alive. And thirdly, I want us to see that Jesus himself not only gives peace and gives joy, but he gives fellowship, overcoming our loneliness. What I love about this passage is it deals with some of the basic human needs, you know, like fear. He overcomes our fear. Joy, how many would say, oh, I don't want to have joy, you know? No, so Jesus helps us overcome our fear with peace. He helps us overcome our doubts and he gives us joy. And here he gives us fellowship, overcoming loneliness. Is loneliness an issue? Please. People are so lonely today. So Jesus eats with them. And he says, have you any meat? And he eats broiled fish. And this is the only gospel account of the four where it says he asked for honeycomb. Now, I really like that he asked for honey because I like sweets, man. Jesus had a sweet tooth. Even in his resurrection body, he's like, I'll take the protein, but give me the dessert too. I didn't see where he had a cup of coffee with it, but I'll work on that one. I'm sure it's in there somewhere. No, I'm just kidding. But he fellowships with them. So Jesus himself can open our understanding. I'm getting ahead of myself here. He fellowships with them, and notice what he does. It says, he speaks to them the word of God. Look at verse 44, an amazing verse. It says in verse 44 and 45, he said to them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written." So all things must be fulfilled which were written. Where? In the law of Moses. And where else? And in the prophets and in the Psalms. Concerning who? Me. Now, no one else who's ever lived could say, I could show you from the law of Moses. That's the first five books of the Bible. And then from the prophets, where he says the prophets, that's the second part of the Old Testament scripture. And then he says from the Psalms, that speaks of the third part of the Old Testament scripture, Psalms being the first book of that part, and I'll show you that in just a moment. But Jesus says, basically, the entire Old Testament is speaking about who? About me. Now, who could say that? If any other man says that, we would say, you are a total narcissist. You're nuts. Jesus wasn't a narcissist. He's the truth of which the prophets and the Psalms and the law speak. And there's so many examples of this. And we could talk about this for literally hours. You would not want me to do that. But Jesus opens the understanding. Now look at this next verse 45. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand what? The scriptures. The scriptures are the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. And he opened their understanding. So when we believe that Jesus Christ is alive, he gives us peace that overcomes fear. And then he gives us joy that overcomes doubt. And now the disciples are believing that Jesus Christ is alive. Then he opens our understanding to see in the Bible that the whole Bible talks about Jesus Christ. And there's no way the whole Bible could talk about Jesus Christ unless the whole Bible is the Word of God. And Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And there's no book like this book. And no man like Jesus Christ. He is amazing. And he can open our understanding. He opened the eyes of the two on the Emmaus Road. Verse 31, it says their eyes were open. And here it says, he opened their understanding. So the Old Testament scripture is called Tanakh. Have you heard that? Some of you have, I know, because I've taught this many times. The Old Testament, the Jewish people don't call their Bible the Old Testament, it's their scripture. They call it Tanakh. And Tanakh has three main parts in it. The Torah, which is the law of Moses, the first five books, and then it has the Nevi'im, which is the second part, and that has the prophets in it. And then the third part is the Ketuvim, which begins with Psalms. Notice the book of Psalms is the first part of this Ketuvim. So that's why Jesus said the law, referring to Torah, and he says the prophets, referring to the Nevi'im, and then he says the Psalms, the major, the long book of the first book of the Ketuvim, the third part of their Tanakh. So basically what this is an acronym. Tanakh is an acronym for these three parts of the Jewish Bible, the Torah, the Nevi'im, and the Ketuvim. So Jesus says all of these scriptures are written concerning him. So go to the law, and he's the Passover lamb that was slain. And the blood was put on the door, and that blood is a picture of Jesus Christ. So that when John the Baptist came, what did he say? Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus is the Passover lamb. Jesus is the serpent raised up in the wilderness. Remember when the people were getting bit by serpents? And God told Moses to lift up a serpent. And when the people looked at that serpent, they would live. Jesus himself said, John chapter 3, as that serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, I will be lifted up to die on the cross. He became sin for us like a serpent. How could 2,000 years before Christ such a clear picture of the gospel be unless this is the Bible, the Word of God? So the law, he's the great high priest of the tabernacle. Like Aaron was the first high priest, but Aaron was a sinner. Jesus Christ is the great high priest without sin. He is the prophet like Moses. God said in Deuteronomy 18, there would be a prophet like Moses, and that's Jesus. So go to the law. So Jesus from the law spoke that it was written concerning him, and then he spoke from the prophets. Go to the prophets. Go to the book of Jonah. Jonah was buried in the fish's belly down in the bottom of the sea for 3 days and three nights. And Jesus said, I will be like Jonah, buried in the heart of the earth. Go to the prophets. Go to Isaiah 53 and you'll see that Jesus Christ is that suffering servant. Go to Jeremiah and you'll see that Jesus Christ is that branch, the righteous one. Go to any of the prophets and they all speak about Jesus. Go to Zechariah and you'll see that Zechariah says, they will look on me whom they have pierced. I believe, Micah, you read that, right, at the beginning, that Jesus Christ is the one whom was pierced for our sins. Zechariah says that. And we can go on and on. Go to the Psalms. Go to the Ketuvim. And he is the one in Psalm 22 forsaken by God. He is the one in Psalm 16 who will not see corruption but will be raised from the dead. You know, the Psalms predict that Jesus Christ would die and he would suffer great thirst, that even his garments would be gambled on at his death, that his garments would be gambled upon. That's 2 weeks in a row. I'm sometime a messy guy, so you got to forgive me. Yeah, yeah. They're going over next. Phew. Go to the Psalms. It's amazing. Oh, so I'm done on this, but I want to just say this. When you begin to read the Bible and see Jesus, and you're not making it up, but you see Jesus in the Old Testament Psalms and the prophets, the Bible will come alive to you and you will fellowship with Jesus himself because you're with Jesus Christ alive and the Word of God. And the Word of God will speak to your heart and the Holy Spirit will show you Jesus himself. That's how this works.
Amen.
And so lastly, and I'll be done, Jesus himself not only gives peace, overcoming fear, he gives joy, overcoming doubt. He gives fellowship, overcoming loneliness. We are a lonely society. I mean, do you think smartphones is helping people feel less lonely? Smartphones, the studies are now coming out. The absolute danger and destruction this is doing to our young people when they isolate themselves from real interaction with human beings. And they just hide in a room with their games and with their TikTok and look at videos for hours upon hours and upon hours. And they're not getting smarter at all. They're getting dumber. And they're getting further away from God. And we've got to really get a hold of this as well. And I have a smartphone. I'm sure many of you do. And yeah, we interact with some social media. That's fine. But we cannot become so addicted in these things that we withdraw and isolate ourselves from life and from God himself. And he's trying to break through. The smartphone is just another it could just be another demonic way. You are deceived and you are distracted from knowing the true and living God because there's a awful lot of sin on these smartphones as well with all the wicked immorality. Be careful. He wants to give us purpose, overcoming our meaningless existence. So in this last section, Jesus gives the message that now these disciples are to go out and give. They believe he's alive. He has given them his peace. He's given them this fellowship and the teaching of the scripture. And now he said to them, it behooved, in verse 46, it behooved Christ both to suffer, to rise again from the dead, the third day. So this is Jesus speaking. And I realize there are major world religions. Actually, every other major world religion does not even believe this, whether it's Judaism or Buddhism or Hinduism or Islam. None of them believe what Jesus Christ is teaching right here. That it behooved him, which means what? He had to do it. He had to. He had to suffer for our sins. Because he died for our sins. And what you deserve for your sin and what I deserve for my sin is nothing else but death and separation from God. And that's what Jesus did when he went to the cross. And no other world religion has a true sacrifice for sin except the faith of the Bible. And I'm not talking about a Baptist faith here today. I'm not talking about, we're not talking denomination. We're just talking the Bible here today. He had to suffer and then he had to rise again. Because we all want to live forever. And what proof and what evidence do you have that you live beyond the grave? If there's not one that actually lived beyond the grave. There had to be one who lived beyond the grave. And he proves it. It's Jesus. So he gives us a purpose to live for. And then he says, and now go preach this. Preach this. That he rose from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. This is not a message for one group of people. It's for all the ethnic groups of the world, all the nations. Repentance and remission. Repentance is a change of mind, where you change your mind to whatever you believe, and you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose again. You change your mind. Repentance is a change of mind, and you turn around from whatever you've believed in before. Maybe a lot of people have this idea, oh yeah, I'm a good person. Change your mind. We're all sinners. We're all sinners. The best man, at his very best, is still a sinner and needs a Savior. We need to change our mind. And then remission. Remission means deliverance, forgiveness. That's how it's translated elsewhere in the New Testament. Remission speaks of forgiveness. So repentance, preach repentance, Jesus said, a change of mind. Preach remission. There's forgiveness of sins. We all need forgiveness. We've all messed up. We've all sinned against God and sinned against one another. Don't you need forgiveness? Every day. So this is our purpose. It's not just to float around. We have a real purpose. You're looking for purpose to overcome meaningless existence? Jesus himself can give that for you. And this is the message he gives us for all nations. And Jesus himself gives peace, overcoming our fear. He gives joy, overcoming our doubt. He gives us fellowship, overcoming our loneliness. He gives us purpose, overcoming our meaningless existence. My goal today has not been to give you any fancy words. I'm not here to impress you. I've tried my best with all of my feeble skills to let God speak to your heart through the Bible. And let Jesus Christ himself show you from the Bible, letting the Holy Spirit work in your heart his truth, and let you interact with God. That's what I've tried to do. I hope to some extent that has happened in your soul, and that you feel God has spoken to your heart. And if you walked into this place and you said, I'm not sure I'm a Christian, then today, call upon the Lord. Believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again. You know, it says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, that is, we believe that he is Lord and God. We believe in the true person of Jesus Christ. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And it doesn't say you have to join a church. It doesn't say you have to be baptized to be saved. You have to believe that Jesus is Lord who rose again from the dead in your heart. And this would change your life. I pray that if you're here today and you came in not sure, but you say, God, I know Jesus himself has shown me today. He spoke to my heart. Then don't leave the same way. Then make a decision to follow Jesus Christ and love him and live for him. Let's stand together as we pray. Thank you for your kind attention today. I know if you're visiting, this is probably a longer message than you get in other places. I understand that. But I do not believe I've wasted a moment of your time today in sharing these precious and truths from God's Word. With our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, let's just pray. Now, Father, we pray that you work mightily in our midst. God, we pray for your people who already know you, trust you, have believed in you, that you would cleanse us of our sins, Lord. Cleanse us of our doubts, our fears that we struggle with day by day. We've not attained to any form of perfection, those of us who are saved. We still struggle with distractions and struggle with all of these things that these disciples struggle with. So, Lord, we pray that the power of your resurrection would drive away our fears, would overcome our doubts, would deal with our sense of loneliness, that we would know that we have you to fellowship with. And having you to fellowship with, Lord, we are truly fulfilled and satisfied. And Lord, we have a great purpose to live for. So how many here would say, Pastor Matt, I know I'm saved by the grace of God, and I thank God Jesus Christ is alive, and I want him to give me that peace, joy, fellowship, and sense of purpose in my life day by day. Can I see your hand? Just put it up in the air and say, thank you, Lord. Praise you. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Tell the Lord hallelujah. Feel with joy in your heart today. So such joy that you cannot believe. It's too good to be true. Let's ask God for that joy today. Yes, Lord, give us that joy, the joy of your spirit today. Praise you, Lord. You can put your hands down. And we would say, Pastor Matt, I'm not sure I'm a Christian, but I came and I listened. And I'm going to ponder and consider things you said today. And I'm not even sure I'm ready to believe. But I'm going to think about this. And I'm going to study this out for myself to know who Jesus Christ is. And if he's the Son of God, I will trust him. Is there anyone like that who'd say, yes, Pastor Matt, pray for me. That's where I'm at right now. I'm not sure. I can't believe yet. I understand that. But I'll seek the Lord. And I'll ask God, God, if you are who you say you are in the Bible, then show me. And I'll ask one final question. How many would say, Pastor Matt, I came in here not believing, but you asked us to let God speak to our heart. And God did. God spoke to my heart. Jesus himself showed me through the Bible his truth, that he's alive. And I do believe in him. I did not come in to this place believing in him. But now I do. A strange sense, something came over me during the message. And I do believe in you, in the Lord Jesus Christ now, that he's alive from the dead. Can I just see your hand? Is there anyone like that? God bless you, sister. God bless you. God bless you. I see that hand. Anyone else? So now, Lord, thank you for your love. Continue your work by your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.